Welcome to the Negotiations Ninja Podcast, where we develop and deliver the most engaging negotiation content and training in the world. We host negotiation experts, business people, and entrepreneurs, and discuss what works, what doesn't work, and how we can improve our negotiation skills. Hey, listeners, you've got Mark here from the Negotiations Ninja Podcast. Today we have a fantastic return guest, Mr. Chris Voss, author of Never Split the Difference, was the FBI's chief international hostage negotiator for many, many years. You all know him, and if you don't know him, you've basically been living under a rock when it comes to negotiation. Super excited to have him on the show today because we're going to be challenging a couple of widely held beliefs around win-win negotiation. What is win-win negotiation? And is it appropriate to even think that win-win negotiation is achievable? I am really excited to hear your feedback about this one. Looking forward to it. Enjoy the show. Mr. Chris Voss, how are you?
I am good. I'm happy to be on with you today.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you back on, man. Thank you so much for coming on a second time. It's going to be a ton of fun today. I think we're going to challenge a lot of assumptions, I think, about negotiation on a whole and sort of what our thoughts are about negotiation. Now, for a lot of my listeners, they already know who you are, but we've grown a fair bit since the last time you were on. So maybe if you could give those new listeners a brief personal background and history and what it is you're doing now with Black Swan.
Sure. Well, I'm the author of Never Split the Difference, Negotiating as If Your Life Depended on It. And before I started coaching business negotiations, you know, based on the stuff from my book, I was the FBI's lead international kidnapping negotiator. I was an FBI agent for 24 years, lead kidnap negotiator for the last 7 years, and, you know, worked some cases around the world in a lot of different cultures, a lot of different environments.
Awesome. Love it. And love the book. It's fantastic. I've read it a couple of times since the last time we chatted. One of the things that I think is quite evident in the book and throughout your negotiation teaching is that you really challenge a lot of maybe previously held ideas about what negotiation is and what negotiation isn't. And there's a lot of competing definitions out there about what win-win negotiation is or whether or not win-win negotiation should be something that we should even look at. I'd love to know what you believe win-win negotiation is.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, we don't believe in a win-win mindset or those words per se. I mean, if somebody's using the terms win-win, they're going to be one of two people. They're going to be a throat cutter or they're going to be somebody who's been getting their throat cut.
So what do you mean by that? What do you mean they're going to be a throat cutter or there've been someone who's getting their throat cut? Why do you not believe in win-win negotiations or those words?
Let's talk about first who uses those words and then we can talk about what I believe in. Like consistently, when we get approached, if somebody says, hey, I want to have a win-win negotiation, I want a win-win negotiation. If that comes out of their mouth early in a conversation, they are looking to kill me. They're looking to cut my throat. They are looking to get me to drop their guard. They've found that using those words on some people get them to drop their guard and start giving stuff up in advance. I mean, every single time, you know, I do a lot of keynote speeches. We do a lot of training. Somebody says, hey, you know, we'd like you to come speak to our conference. We'd like to negotiate a win-win deal. I know they're going to try to get me to come and speak for free. They're going to say, you know, our audience is so valuable. And you're going to have so much follow-on business from just being exposed to our executives. It's going to be so valuable to you that, you know, we're only going to pay your travel expenses. So I know if they're using those terms early on, they're trying to get me to drop their guard. And why have they got into that habit? Because they found that when they use those terms, then somebody who's really hoping for a win-win drops their guard and they get sheared on a regular basis. And so that's why they're either the throat cutter or the person getting their throat cut.
Interesting. And this really, I find, flies in the opposite direction of what popular opinion about negotiation should be, right? I mean, everyone's popular opinion on negotiation, or at least the vast majority of people that I speak to, say, yeah, we want to create a win-win. And I find that most people, when they say that, they're not actually thinking through what it is they're saying. I think what they think they mean is something that's mutually beneficial. Or maybe it is they actually believe that the value can be split, you know, 50-50, which I think is crazy talk. Do you think the definition of win-win is too myopic?
Yeah, it probably is. I mean, for me to be able to decide in advance what's a win for you means that I feel I know everything, which is just not true. The most important information I don't know because you're hiding it from me. There's always hidden information. And I'm hiding information from you. So for us to really understand how both sides win here is impossible because we don't know what we're hiding. And then you start layering in what we value is based on what we care about. And again, you can't run that through a spreadsheet. You got to find that out for me. For the process to be successful, it's got to be collaborative. And you might not want to collaborate. You might be trying to cheat me. You might be trying to hurt me, cheat me before I cheat you. Claim as much value as possible before I get it from you. There are a lot of people out there that believe that everybody's out there to screw them. So therefore, their strategy is to screw the other side first. I mean, we just cut off negotiations with a company. That's their complete attitude. There was never going to be a win-win with them. They were always there to exploit us, or they were there to lie to us. They had another company we stopped doing business with because, you know, they lie all the time. So, you know, if I'm trying to put win-win into this environment, I'm asking for trouble with these people.
Yeah.
I'm setting myself up. And, you know, there are enough of those people out there that you lose your job with that attitude. You're going to get killed.
Yeah. Incredibly difficult to enter those situations and expect to win-win when that person's out to basically slit your throat, so to speak. So, I mean, the term win-win for me presupposes that the person using it believes that there can be two winners. And in my experience, there's a certain amount of value that either gets created in the deal or split up in the deal, or created and split up in the deal. And there's going to be someone who's going to be walking away with more value, which for me says that someone is going to be the winner. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be mutually beneficial. But do you think that we're arguing over what negotiation should be versus what negotiation is, like our ideology versus our reality?
I think in some cases, I mean, the best way that I could sort of address that might be with an answer to a negotiation I did that I thought was fantastic, because I think the other side, I spoke to a conference for free. Now, my normal speaker's fee is ridiculously high, but this was early on when the book was just coming out and they were going to buy 300 books. And to sell 300 books in one fell swoop is a nice spike in books. And at that time, I didn't have hardly any video that had been shot of me giving a talk. And they had a separate budget to set up video and shoot video in front of a highly responsive audience. I couldn't orchestrate that without them. They brought something to the table that I couldn't put together. I could put 300 people in an auditorium. I'm going to give the talk and they're going to like it because I give a good talk. But then the real kicker was they were a local chapter of a national organization who had a national newsletter, and we could put a Q&A article in their national newsletter and get exposed to all 20,000 people in the organization. And the national organization needed content for their newsletter. And this was a way to get a great speaker for a local chapter for free by giving me something that I couldn't get that was highly valuable to me. Now, some people might say, okay, well, that was win-win, but neither one of us got there by walking into it with a win-win attitude. I got there with an attitude of like, look, I got a lot I can lay on the table for you. I'm open to brainstorming, to coming up with better ideas.
To all my procurement listeners out there, you won't want to miss this. ProcureCon Contingent Staffing is happening on July 23rd through 25th at the Hyatt Regency in Minneapolis, Minnesota. There's going to be incredible speakers there, including yours truly, and all our listeners can receive 25% off their registration with our discount code NN, as in Negotiations Ninja, PCS19. That's NNPCS19. Whether you're focused on growth, talent engagement, program oversight, or improving your analytical capabilities, ProcureCon is designed to give you the tools and tactics to elevate your contingent staffing workforce. Once again, use the discount code with the link provided in this episode. That discount code is NNPCS19, and you'll save 25% off your pass. And now, back to your show. So you were open to sharing information about what you wanted out of the situation, and they were open to sharing what they wanted out of the situation. Do you think that in order to get to something that's mutually beneficial, we need to be more transparent about what we need and want? Or how should we be playing those cards, close to our chest or further away?
Yeah, well, it's completely how you're going to play those cards. And it's not that you shouldn't be transparent. Of course, you should be. You know, ideally you are. But you should really be open to brainstorming, because there's going to be stuff there the other side has that you got no idea that they have. Now, the cards that people play close to their chest, those are either your weaknesses or your strengths. Like, let's say I got to have a deal made by Friday. And I could be horrified at telling you that. Or I could say, look, if I don't get this deal, I have to have a deal made by Friday. If you don't kick it into gear right now, I'm walking away right now. Either you start to solve this problem for me right now, or I'll go look for somebody else. So any given point of information, it's all in how you're going to take yourself hostage over it. Is it a strength? Is it a weakness? It's all in how you spin it in your own mind.
I love that terminology, how you take yourself hostage in that situation. Could you dive into that a little bit deeper? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, really, there's no such thing as leverage. There's only influence in what you think you need to have. That's why, you know, people are taking themselves hostage, because I have to have this deal. Well, you've just taken yourself hostage.
Right.
If I tell them this, I can't say no. Well, you just took yourself hostage. You know, it's all in how you perceive the dynamics and how you look at the process. And it's like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. And what you're doing to yourself is whether or not you're taking yourself hostage. That's really how we mean it.
Brilliant. When I think of win-win, the implication for me is that we're basically announcing, if we say that, if we think that way, that we therefore need to be responsible for ensuring that the other party also wins in the negotiation. What do you think about that? Where does our responsibility end? Do we have the responsibility for the other party coming out with a major win, or at least something that's beneficial for them? What? How do you see that playing out?
Well, yeah, it's kind of all in your definition. I mean, so much of this is arbitrary. If we made a deal at all, you are by definition better off.
Right.
Period. So if we make a deal, you won. Now, the issue is, what's your perception of how much you won?
Right.
That's going to have a lot more to do with how the process was engaged, whether or not you felt heard, whether or not you felt that I understood where you were coming from and why you needed it. You know, there's human nature responses. Let's say I gave you something you desperately needed, but I gave it to you easily. You're going to devalue it. There's no avoiding that. You know, we talk about, one of our rules is ignore human nature at your peril. This has to be a process that you felt engaged in and heard and felt you were treated, quote, fairly, and for you to accept the outcome. And it has nothing to do with what the outcome was. It's our complete perception of how we went through the process. And as soon as you begin to realize that there are more important things to everybody than the deal itself, and it's principally with how they were treated and how they gathered information and whether or not they felt informed and engaged, then this win-win idea begins to fly out the door and it becomes much more of a process issue.
Interesting. When we're in a deal that we're, you know, I mean, obviously by definition, if we come to a deal, that person has come out better off. Is there a, let's say, for example, there's an experienced negotiator negotiating with someone that maybe doesn't necessarily have a ton of experience, but that person with a ton of experience comes out feeling fantastic. You know, they've gotten a deal, but the person with a ton of experience realizes, look, that person should have gotten a lot more out of this deal. Is that person with more experience have an ethical responsibility to bring that up? Or do we let that go? Or what are your thoughts on, you know, where the responsibility of either party lies?
If you're a mercenary, you know, there's an old Goldman Sachs phrase, greedy, yes, but long-term greedy.
I love that.
Yeah. So you want to be long-term greedy. I mean, the issue is not the deal. The issue is implementation. Yes is nothing without how. And then there's always follow-on business. How do they feel after the deal is over? So I want a pipeline of revenue. And if I'm consistently exploiting my counterparts, that pipeline's going to dry up.
Yes, exactly.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there. Like, I'm at a supply chain conference probably about 3 years ago. And the people at the working supply chain, one of them takes me off the side. He says, you know, we got to be really careful that we're not either the biggest customer or a supplier's only customer, because we're going to put them out of business. And I thought, boy, that's a great way to put yourself out of business, because you're going to run out of suppliers.
That's right.
So what's best for your business's health long term? What's best is cliches. Always deliver value in excess of what you charged anybody. If it's always a great deal for the other side, no matter how much money you made, it's still a great deal for the other side. It's the best money they ever spent. I mean, if you come and you hire the Black Swan Group to come and teach you negotiation, we're going to charge you a lot of money. And if you pay any attention to us at all, it'll be the cheapest money you ever spent. I mean, if your business is to always over deliver, then there's kind of no limit on how profitable you could be. And that's how you're long-term greedy. Over deliver, make great deals, leave the other side better off, and make a lot of money while you're at it.
Yeah. There's one thing that I picked up there that I absolutely love. Yes means nothing without how.
Yeah, man.
Can you dive into that a little bit more?
Well, unfortunately, since so many people aren't aware of that, they think that yes is, yes, get to yes, I'm successful. And they don't give any thought to how. And so that makes you a sucker for the throat cutter, because the throat cutter is going to kill you on how. I mean, Carl Icahn was legendary for giving people their prices and then just killing them with the terms. Yeah. So people think they get to yes, or they think they get their price and they think they get a great deal. And then the cutthroat negotiator on the other side is just going to absolutely slaughter you. The reputation of China is that it's a lucrative place to go do business. Well, implementation in places that are reputed to be lucrative tend to be highly problematic. So, and a lot of people out there know they can sucker you with yes, they can sucker you with a high price, and it can absolutely destroy you with the how. You know, they're going to bury a term in there that if it goes wrong, you're going to go bankrupt. So if you take your eye off the ball of how, and you think that you've won when you get a yes, then you're not going to stay in business because somebody's going to hurt you.
Yeah. It's almost as if, you know, a lot of people have blinders on when it comes into a negotiation. They're focused on one term or one thing that they need to deliver on to get a deal done. And, you know, a salesperson will come out at the end of it, hey, I got a deal. But at what cost? You know, at what cost is that?
Right.
You know, yeah, you got the right price, but holy cow, look at what we have to try and deliver now. It's a tough situation to not only put yourself in, but to put your company in.
Right. And it happens all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you do a ton of traveling and you're always traveling all over the place to speak at amazing events. What's new and exciting at Black Swan? What do you want people to know about?
Well, we're doing one day training events across the country this year. We're doing 13 of them. We got something going every month in a different part of the country. You can find out about it on our website and our announcements and our newsletter. Later, about halfway through the year, we're going to go online with a video negotiation course.
Cool.
So we're putting a lot more stuff out online that's going to be available so people can, you know, do a lot of self-paced study. This year, we're putting a lot of stuff out, both free and new innovative stuff that's available online that we're really excited to get out there. So people, they don't have to come to us to get better. Great supplements for the book.
Awesome. And all of your monthly events are basically all over the place. So people shouldn't be limited by geography. They can probably find someone in their local state.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be close to you. That's where we spread it out. We're bouncing back and forth all over the country. We're trying to get to all parts of the country.
Awesome. Amazing. And if people want to follow you online, Chris, how do they do that?
Actually, the website is blackswanltd.com, but the newsletter is the best way to keep up with everything we're doing. It's a gateway to everything. And we got a text to sign up function. Simplest way to sign up for this free newsletter, it's complimentary, it's a good price, is text to the number 22828. Again, that number is 22828. And the message you send to that number is FBI empathy, all one word. Don't let your spell check make it two words. One word, FBI empathy, to 22828. You get a dialogue box back, ask for your email address, sign up for everything. It's a gateway to everything we're doing.
Awesome. Love it. And for the listeners, just so that you know, I will link out to Black Swan website as well as to the newsletter. Highly recommend that you check that out. I receive it. It's fantastic. Chris, again, thank you so much for being on, man. True privilege and a pleasure. Definitely helped us to challenge a few assumptions around what we believe win-win negotiations are and potentially what they are not. And good luck with all the travel.
All right. Thanks, brother. Thanks for having me back on.
Hey, friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with friends and colleagues so that they can benefit from it as well. If you find Negotiations Ninja Podcast worthy, please go on to iTunes and give us a cool rating with a nice review. We certainly appreciate every single one that we get because it helps us to understand who is listening, how they're listening, and what it is they like. If there's something that you would like me to discuss around negotiation, influence, or persuasion, give me a shout. You know how to reach me on social media, or you can get me on my website, which is www.negotiations.ninja.